they are very unpredictable, and increasingly the other major powers are getting involved in the process.
Tensions rise further between Malaysia and North Korea. It's Wednesday, March 8th. This is VOA Asia. Hello, I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We invite you, too, to check out our Facebook page right now at VOA Asia. Also ahead, a missile deployment strikes a South Korean company. Malaysians react to North Korean behavior. On International Women's Day, drug abuse remains a problem. Some women accessorize with a black belt. Stay with us. VOA Asia starts now. Tensions between Malaysia and North Korea over the alleged assassination of the half-brother of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un escalated Tuesday after Pyongyang temporarily barred Malaysians in the country from leaving. Malaysian Prime Minister Najib Razak said Pyongyang was effectively holding his country's citizens hostage. Kuala Lumpur retaliated by blocking North Korean officials from leaving the Southeast Asian nation. It expelled the North Korean ambassador Monday after he criticized the police investigation into the death of a North Korean man believed to be Kim Jong-nam. Two detained women, one a Vietnamese, the other Indonesian, have been charged with murder after allegedly wiping Kim's face with deadly VX nerve agent at the Kuala Lumpur airport on February 13th. Malaysia is seeking several North Koreans in the case. South Korea accused the North of carrying out an assassination. The North has denied any involvement and has refused to accept the body is that of Kim Jong-nam. University of Tasmania Malaysia analyst James Chin tells VOA's Victor Beatty, this latest tit-for-tat shows relations between the two countries are deteriorating at a rapid pace.
It also shows that the North Koreans will not back down until Malaysia releases the body of Kim Jong-nam back to North Korea.
Is that going to happen?
Based on my understanding, this is not going to happen anytime soon. Essentially, the Malaysians are waiting for a direct relative of Kim Jong-nam to give DNA samples so that they can confirm that the body they're holding actually is Kim Jong-nam.
Do we know how many Malaysians are currently in North Korea?
I suspect the numbers will be very small. As your listeners know, North Korea is not an easy country to get a visa. My guess is there are probably less than 100 Malaysians in North Korea at any one time.
Well, this all began to escalate with the expulsion of a North Korean ambassador from Malaysia. What's next, a severing of relations?
Well, yes, that is one of the options being looked at in Kuala Lumpur. But again, Malaysia will probably not trigger that. They'll wait for reactions from North Korea. Now, the issue with North Korea is they are very unpredictable, and increasingly, the other major powers are getting involved in the process. My understanding is that the Chinese are very interested about this whole case. I think what everyone is waiting for are two things. First, everyone is waiting for the confirmation that it was a nerve gas that killed Kim Jong-nam. That's the first thing. Secondly, I think everybody is looking for confirmation that the body they have in Kuala Lumpur is actually Kim Jong-nam. Despite widespread news reports that it is Kim Jong-nam, we do not have any definite proof that it is Kim Jong-nam.
Where does the police investigation stand now?
The police investigations are now halted because all the key witnesses are back in North Korea. So there's no more lines of inquiry. The only thing the police have going for them is the arrest and the charging of the two females who were directly involved in the poisoning of Kim.
What's the next step in this case?
We have to wait for the reactions of the North Koreans and also the reactions of the Malaysian government. If the Malaysian government sever ties, I think this will create a huge uproar, especially in North Korea. But the key issue now is that what will happen to the body? I think North Korea wants the body so that they can get rid of the evidence very quickly, while the members of the international committee wants to punish North Korea for using a banned chemical.
James Chin said the key to determining whether the body is that of Kim Jong-nam is performing a DNA test on a close relative. He said Kim's relatives live in China, and it will be up to Beijing whether to allow a relative to go to Kuala Lumpur or permit a DNA sample to be taken by Malaysian authorities in China. These are among some of the top Asia stories that are trending on VOAnews.com. A survey finds pervasive corruption in Asia hindering progress. General strike shuts much of southern Nepal after 3 killed. Pakistan temporarily reopens border with Afghanistan. Thai redshirt leader jailed for insulting monarchy. China's new civil code is light on individual rights reforms. You'll find expanded coverage of these stories and more on Facebook at VOA Asia, and be sure to read them on our voanews.com website. We continue now with VOA Asia. President Donald Trump has spoken with the leaders of South Korea and Japan following Monday's launch of 4 missiles by North Korea, 3 of which fell into waters inside of Japan's exclusive economic zone. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, who says they agreed the latest launches violate UN Security Council resolutions and that the North Korean threat has reached a new level. Mr. Trump said the United States was with Japan 100%. The U.S. and Japanese defense ministers also conferred on the matter. Meanwhile, on Tuesday, the United States deployed the first elements of its Terminal High Altitude Area Defense Missile Defense System, or THAAD, to South Korea. Last year, Washington and Seoul agreed to expedite the U.S. missile shield deployment in the face of North Korea's accelerated testing and development of its nuclear and ballistic missile programs. Admiral Harry Harris, the commander of U.S. Pacific Command, said in a statement, THAAD elements were deployed to honor the alliance commitments to South Korea and to help defend U.S. troops in the region, U.S. allies, and the American homeland. The South Korean military says the THAAD system could be operational as early as April. Like the Patriot missile system, THAAD uses missiles to shoot down incoming missiles. China, however, has voiced strong opposition to THAAD, saying the missile defense system could be used against it. The Korean company Lotte has been a boycott target by Beijing because Lotte swapped land with the South Korean government for the THAAD deployment. VOA Beijing correspondent Bill Ai joins us by telephone to tell us about what's been happening to Lotte stores in Liaoning province, where he just visited.
In a recent trip to Shenyang in the northeast, it's the northeastern capital of Liaoning province. This is a city where Lotte has numerous facilities, but there is a department store, a massive project that they have there, department store, apartments, it's going to be an amusement park and office buildings. The amusement park and office buildings haven't been finished yet, and recently we learned that around December of last year, the construction was halted at that project, also in relation to the missile deployment, but of course authorities there said it was because the company did not pass a fire inspection. When I was there, I took a visit to the site and went inside the department store. It was almost empty. I think the only place that really had quite a few customers was the cinema. Of course, this was late in the afternoon on a weekday, and maybe that had something to do with it. But you got the sense that the company's business was perhaps starting to suffer in some way. Shenyang is actually loaded with Korean businessmen. There are tens of thousands of them living in the city. There's a lot of direct trade with South Korea, with Seoul, which is not too far away. And they have one of the biggest Korea towns. And I stopped by there as well to try to find out what local traders were feeling and whether or not this whole dispute was having an impact. Most of them at that time, this was about a couple weeks ago, were saying that they weren't feeling any impact. And there was a bit of a sense, too, that you got from them that regardless of what the government does, that business was going to go on anyway, that they felt like the government was making policy decisions, based on their own national strategic and security interests. But really, at the end of the day, they need to make money. They need to feed their families. And what they basically told me was that, yeah, we're going to just keep doing business, regardless. It may have an impact on the surface, but for them, nothing was really going to change.
Bill Ide, our Beijing correspondent, on top of the story. Bill, thanks for filling us in.
Glad to speak with you, Jim.
Happening now in Asia, Philippines police killed 4 people in 3 incidents Tuesday during new anti-drug operations. The national police chief said he had hoped for a less bloody operation. About 8,000 people have been killed in the drug war since last June. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad to have you with us today. Malaysia has had an open relation with a number of countries throughout the years, and that fact has been a source of pride for local residents. In 2003, Malaysia and North Korea opened embassies in their respective capitals, but since North Korea's alleged assassination of Kim Jong-nam on Malaysian soil, many believe Pyongyang has stretched the limits of Malaysia's kindness. Shamran Lachman is a senior analyst at the Institute for International and Strategic Studies, Malaysia, who says Kuala Lumpur did not necessarily measure the potential costs of such relationships.
This was a relationship that the North Koreans, where the North Koreans were in the driver's seat, basically, for a long, long time. This relationship was mostly about North Korea taking advantage of a space that Malaysia provided. From the North Korean perspective, it benefited from benign neglect on our part.
Trade tips heavily in favor of North Korea. Doing business and to gain hard currency, Pyongyang has sometimes engaged in illegal activities. Last week, Reuters ran an in-depth story about North Korea selling battlefield radios from a front company in Kuala Lumpur's Little India. In economic terms, Lachman said multinational companies like Samsung are vastly more important to Malaysia than the whole of North Korea. Deva Rajartnam, a former civil engineer in Kuala Lumpur who now drives for Uber and still makes an occasional airport run, said he's not concerned about his safety following the attack on Kim Jong-nam at Kuala Lumpur International Airport. He said Malaysians on average aren't either. What worries Rajartnam the most is the way the attack was carried out. He said it must have taken a lot of planning and skill to train unsuspecting foreign women to carry out the attack. Preparations of which apparently took place right under the nose of the Malaysian government. Rajartnam considers this a big issue because Malaysia doesn't really have international crime, and he's not certain whether severing diplomatic ties with North Korea would solve what he perceives to be lax government oversight. Lachman, meanwhile, says he does not foresee the government breaking off ties. In his opinion, it would set a negative precedent for future incidents with countries that are indispensable to Malaysia.
People will say, well, you did that with North Korea. Why aren't you doing it with this country? I mean, consistency is overrated. We try to have some level of consistency in doing this sort of things.
Malaysia announced it is canceling its visa-free agreement with North Korea, although that will only impact North Koreans seeking to enter the country for 30 days. According to Sunwook Ahn, a professor of international relations at University of Malaya, there are around 1,000 North Koreans, including coal miners, working on special visas while in Malaysia. He says that will make it much harder for them to work in Malaysia. A University of Malaya senior lecturer told the Star newspaper that while the new visa requirements are not likely to impact North Korea's economy, it could make it harder for North Korea to profit from illegal activity. You're listening to VOA Asia.
News is mobile, and so are you. Get VOA on the go. Get VOA on Google Currents. Get VOA News specifically made for your tablet and smartphone. Clean, simple, fast. Now available for Android or Apple phones or tablets. Download the Google Currents app for free today. Get VOA on Google Currents at voanews.com/currents.
This news alert from VOA Asia. After expelling each other's ambassadors, diplomatic tensions between Malaysia and North Korea deteriorated further. Pyongyang has barred all Malaysians in North Korea from leaving the country. Malaysia surrounded Pyongyang's embassy as police want to question Kim Jong-nam murder suspects they believe are inside. All the big stories are on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues as a new report finds a significant rise in the number of women dying from drug overdoses globally, while fewer women than men receive treatment for their addiction and more are severely punished for drug taking. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva on the annual report of the International Narcotics Control Board.
The report finds governments do not pay enough attention to the huge and growing problem of drug abuse among women. The International Narcotics Control Board, which monitors implementation of UN international drug control treaties, says women get short shrift when it comes to the enactment of gender-sensitive policies. INCB President Werner Sipp tells VOA one-third of global drug users are women, but only one-fifth receive treatment. He says there tends to be a gender bias against women, as they often are punished more harshly for drug-related offenses than men.
We know that women are significantly more likely than men to be prescribed narcotics and anti-anxiety medications. Or we see that women are increasingly being arrested for drug-related crimes in some regions, much more than men. They have even a disproportionate increase in drug overdoses.
The report notes HIV infections and mental health disorders are more prevalent among women who abuse drugs. It warns locking women up for drug crimes has a serious and detrimental impact on them and on their children and families. SIP says drug abuse is a problem in both rich and poor countries, though data in African and Asian countries is scant. He adds women drug abusers are likely to have greater difficulty receiving the treatment they need in developing countries.
I think in Africa the stigma which women have to face is probably greater than, for instance, in Europe or in the U.S., A woman who is addicted does not dare confess to show that she is addicted because this might lead to very, very bad consequences in her community or in the society in general.
The report calls for alternative measures to punishment and conviction for minor drug crimes among women. It recommends more investment in treatment and rehabilitation programs, education, and social integration. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Developing at this hour in Asia, North Korea's news agency says the country's latest missile test was a training exercise for striking U.S. bases in Japan. Following the launch, South Korea deployed the first stage of the U.S. THAAD missile system. China warned it will take action against THAAD. VOA keeps you informed all day on Facebook at VOA Asia.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning.
The Chinese martial art wushu, also known as kung fu, taking hold in Kabul, Afghanistan. 20-year-old student Seema Azimi is not only the sport's first female practitioner in Afghanistan, but she's also the first woman to operate a school teaching the fighting style. Find out how your skills compare as Amy Katz narrates this report by VOA Afghan reporter Hekmat Sorash.
Seema Azimi is a black belt in wushu and won a gold medal in competition while she was a refugee in Iran. When she returned to Afghanistan, she opened her school. She has been criticized for practicing the sport as a woman, and not everyone in Kabul welcomes her school.
Some threatened me, and this vulnerability continues. I get warning letters saying sport is a mistake for girls. Their goal is to prevent women from advancement, but we also try our hardest. We will try to convince them that we can have a very impactful and effective role within our society.
Despite the obstacles, Seema hopes to spread wushu across Afghanistan. So far, she has around 20 students and says the number is growing.
I want this club to expand, and I want branches to be open in other provinces as well. I wish for the day that women from every walk of life and every tribe come to my club and participate in sport activities. Our women are strong and can bring about positive change only if they are provided with the opportunity.
Seema has her father's support. He says he is happy that his daughter is practicing the Chinese martial art, and he hopes she will make a big name for herself in the sport.
I hope Sima continues to achieve her goal, get ahead, and does not stop. I want her to find her way to the international games. I will be happy if she could train strong girls like herself, or even stronger than herself, for Afghanistan, our war-torn country, and be an example for others.
Sima Azimi has been selected to represent Afghanistan in the next South Asian Games. She hopes to bring home another gold medal. For video journalist Hikmat Zurosh in Kabul, Amy Katz, VOA News.
And we thank them for that report on this International Women's Day, as we celebrate that day each and every year at this time. And we'll have more stories this week regarding International Women's Day. Who would have thought we could have tied that to Carl Carlton's kung fu fighting back in 1974? Wow. That was fun. And we hope you had fun listening to VOA Asia. Be sure to check us out on Facebook at VOA Asia. Download our podcast from voanews.com, or you can just stream our program there if you like. Our director is Tracy Carter, engineer Jimmy Cook, and our managing editor is Diane Gao. Our great VOA Asia team with Steve Miller and Ali Ogden, we all wish you a great day ahead.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Iraqi security forces continue to make progress in their fight to liberate the Iraqi city of Mosul from ISIS terrorists. Iraqi forces have succeeded in taking back Mosul International Airport, said the commander of Combined Joint Task Force Operation Inherent Resolve. Speaking to Pentagon reporters via teleconference from Baghdad, Army Lieutenant General Stephen Townsend said Iraqi forces have begun breaching into the outskirts of the city, with the Iraqi Counterterrorism Service, Federal Police, and Army moving along three axes of advance that clear the enemy from neighborhoods inside the city, but also enveloping the city to the west. This enemy's been preparing for this battle for some time, said General Townsend, and they've done an extensive amount of work to dig and build barriers to complicate the Iraqi advance. We've seen them use tunnels, shipping containers, and vehicles in the streets to slow the Iraqi forces down, and they've rigged many of these barriers with explosives. The U.S.-led coalition continues to strike those barriers with precision fire to help the Iraqis advance, Townsend said. ISIS has been dealt another significant blow in Syria, where Turkish-backed Syrian opposition forces have liberated al-Bab, the last significant ISIS-controlled population center in the Aleppo district. Freeing al-Bab, said General Townsend, has closed the door to ISIS' supply line of new fighters and its ability to export terrorists around the world. The liberation of al-Bab also means Turkey now has secured its border from ISIS, the general noted. The coalition is committed to the security of Turkey and will continue to work in close coordination with partner forces and allies to deliver a lasting defeat to ISIS, which remains the greatest terrorist threat to the region and the world, said General Townsend. The coalition continues planning for the eventual liberation of Raqqa, ISIS' self-proclaimed capital, Townsend told reporters. The liberation of Raqqa will bring an end to the enemy's mythology that they were ever more than a brutal, murderous terrorist group. And then we will continue working with our partners to deal them a lasting defeat.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.